been able to find out that the Iranian government has bought some very modern Western technology that it's using to monitor cell phone and landline calls inside Iran. They got this technology, some of it, not all of it, but some of it, from a European firm, Nokia Siemens. They confirmed to us that late last year they sold the government some of the technology that it's using now to monitor and control and possibly block cell phone landline calls. We spoke with an expert from the former NSA analyst, Ira Winkler, yesterday. He took us through kind of how the government might be doing this and some of the technical procedures. But basically, they can listen in on cell phone calls in real time. They very likely are doing this, and they have the technology to do it. They have probably, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of people in these monitoring centers listening to cell phone calls that are being made. And what's significant about that, Amy, is that a lot of cell phones now are being used to transmit video. So, you know, some of the pictures that we're seeing, which are really our only images from Iran right now, are being taken on cell phone with cell phone technology. Now, the government can't necessarily see those pictures in real time, but they do in real time pick up the information that a picture is being taken, that a picture is being sent, because of the volume of the data being sent out and the megabytes, et cetera. They can tell when a piece of video is being sent to something like YouTube, and then they can trace that phone. So there is some very strong technology that they have at their disposal, and they are using it to spy on cell phones that the protesters are using.
It's a double-edged sword, because that technology is what's bringing us those images. At the same time, that technology is what's sort of ratting out the folks who are bringing us the images.
That's right. It's very important to point that out. I'm glad that you did, because we, in speaking with the people at Nokia Siemens yesterday, they make two fundamental points. Number one, that they sold the Iranians technology that basically, you know, every major telecom company here in the United States and elsewhere, like AT&T and Verizon, they're required to have the same technology so that U.S. authorities, with a warrant, if they need to, can tap into it and use it to spy on people, to tap someone's phone, to listen in on a cell phone conversation. So that technology is available here as well. That's one point they make. And another point is just what you said. They expanded their service inside Iran last year. They said that they gave millions more people access to their networks. If it wasn't for them, a lot of the images that we're seeing now, we wouldn't be seeing. So that's a valid point to be made.
Let's talk a bit about the upheaval going on in Iran. Those images that we are seeing show the white turbans, their people, their clerics, who are actually mixing and mingling in with the protesters. Does that mean there is a religious upheaval going on? Is this in any way misleading, or what does this mean?
It's not misleading. There are, you know, some clerics, including some grand ayatollahs, who have spoken out against these election results. But the extent of it is, it's almost impossible to know. I talked to an Islamic scholar who is very keyed into the situation in Iran, and he said that the clerics and the ayatollahs work very often behind the scenes, often in secret, to basically either marshal their forces for and against people. So it's almost impossible to know. There is clearly a diversity of political bent among the top ayatollahs and the top clerics. They're not all of one voice, but the momentum that they might have to go after the regime of Ayatollah Khamenei and Mr. Ahmadinejad, they just may not have enough momentum yet to go after them. There is some belief that the former president, Hashimi Rafsanjani, who heads this assembly of experts, they technically have the power to throw the supreme leader out. And there are rumors and reports that he is trying to get enough support among the top ayatollahs to do just that. But that can't be confirmed, and Iranian officials quickly dismiss those reports as being untrue. So it's hard to know the extent of the religious upheaval among the clerics to go against this regime. But there is evidence, there is some evidence that it is there.
And finally, coming back close to home, you were one of the first reporters on the scene of that metro train collision on Monday. What can you tell us? What sort of insights can you provide there?
Well, we were there shortly after it happened, and I was actually able to walk a little bit on the tracks close to the cars before the police kind of cordoned off a lot of the scene. It was absolute carnage. It was clearly an incredibly violent collision. The rear car slammed into the lead car with such force that it pitched the rear car up on a 45-degree angle. There was just a lot of mangled wreckage. there were three bodies that were not pulled out of there until Tuesday. They were lodged behind the driver's compartment of the rear train, which was the one that actually was the moving train that hit the train in front of it. A lot of questions being asked today about the crash worthiness of these trains. The rear train was apparently an older one. The National Transportation Safety Board has made recommendations for several years to the Washington Metropolitan Transit Authority that some of these older cars needed to be retrofitted and phased out. This was one of the cars that was not done, that was not done on, and there's a lot of criticism now for the metro authorities that they haven't done it. There's some question as to whether the sensors and the automated controls of that car could have and should have alerted the driver and essentially automatically slowed that train down when it sensed that there was a train stopped ahead of it. So a lot of this is yet to be determined whether those sensors were working. Again, this was an older car, the one that was moving, and the recommendations were that it should have been retrofitted. Metro says that it has been trying to retrofit as many of those cars as possible, but the fact is that one had not been retrofitted yet, and that is going to really bring them in for some criticism.